Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, July the 7th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's another sunny day in Kent. We're going to have more on the weather in just a bit. But first, some breaking news to start today's episode. Kent singer Lauren Bennett has died at the age of 36. She was born in Mepham and featured on LMFAO's hit song Party Rock Anthem in 2011. Well, Ruby Ellen joins me now with more information. Ruby, what do you know?
As you say, Lauren was born in Kent and entered the X Factor when she was a teenager, before being asked to audition for a new group called Paradiso Girls. At 17, she moved to LA and the group released a single, which reached number 3 on the US Dance Club Songs chart. 2 years later, Party Rock Anthem was released and went on to be named the 5th most successful song of all time by Billboard, after spending 6 weeks as the number 1 song on its Hot 100.
And Lauren joined a new group, is that right?
That's right. She became part of GRL in 2014, releasing a single called Ugly Heart and featuring on Pitbull's Wild Wild Love. GRL split in 2015, but have posted on their Instagram today to share the news of Lauren's death. Their statement says, "Our hearts are broken and we cannot begin to express how much she meant to us." They then go on to say, "We will forever cherish the love, laughter and countless memories she gave us."
Very sad news. Ruby, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A motorcyclist has appeared in court in Kent accused of dangerous driving offences, including allegedly reaching speeds of 189 miles per hour. The 29-year-old from Gillingham was arrested by officers who then checked a GoPro camera on his helmet. He's accused of offences on the M2A2 in the Medway Tunnel and on Hoth Way, and is due back in court later this month. The National Trust is urging visitors not to bring barbecues or leave litter behind following a fire at Knoll Park in Sevenoaks. Vegetation caught alight yesterday afternoon and crews spent more than 6 hours tackling the blaze. There are concerns about the impact on wildlife. And we're officially in the third heat wave of the year, with temperatures set to stay in the low 30s for the next few days at least. An amber heat health alert comes into force in Kent tomorrow and lasts until Sunday. The Met Office is also warning of tropical nights. Now, two people have been arrested during a crackdown on organised crime across Kent. One man was detained in Dartford on suspicion of modern slavery offences, while another near Sevenoaks was wanted for theft. The week-long operation saw them go into several high street businesses. Detective Chief Inspector Ricky Basson is from Kent Police.
We're visiting places such as vape shops, convenience stores, barbers, to make sure not only they're complying with the law, but make sure they're supported in understanding what that law is. We can't do this work on our own. We work with our partners. For example, Trading Standards, they'll look at the compliance in terms of law and legislation when operating in businesses. With immigration enforcement, they'll look at any immigration offences that might be occurring. And with the police, we'll make sure if there's any wider criminality, we're tackling that head on. This will also help us build up an intelligence picture around Kent. So making sure not only are we garnering intelligence that is going to be useful for us to understand what problems exist, but also sharing that intelligence with our partners. If the public have any concerns around this, I'd urge them to report it. It's our job to make sure that we are supporting the public in terms of keeping our streets and high streets safe.
Kent Online reports.
A special report now on a Kent man who says he lost everything after becoming addicted to drink is sharing his story to mark Alcohol Awareness Week. Trevor Smith started drinking when he was about 15 and only noticed he had a problem after getting married in his early 20s.
I would just, you know, go to a social event, but just drink. I didn't have an off switch. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't want to know how to stop. And my wife at the time, she said, "You've got issues." Oh, I didn't want to buy that rubbish. So we parted on our first year, our wedding anniversary. I left, went back home to my mum and dad. I had a difficult upbringing with them. I was very fortunate to have gifts, but there was no love. But I went back home and drank even more, functioning alcoholic, basically. Going to work, coming home, probably driving in point, you know, shouldn't have been driving because you're constantly topping yourself up. My 30th birthday present, my mother decided that, or my mother and father, got me a private consultation with a doctor because am I drinking? So I went to this and was told, you're going to die if you don't stop. It frightened me, did frighten me. Absolutely frightened me to wits end, absolutely. So I stopped, I did, I stopped. 3 months into that, I went to a bank do and I met what was going to be my second wife and got on really well with her. We got love at first sight, moved in with her 3 weeks later, with her like 25 years plus. But when I was under this particular doctor, the consultant, I went to see him with Michelle, and so we're getting married at the weekend. Oh, are you? And I said to this Dr. Prentice, can I have a drink? And mate, to my surprise, he went, well, a couple won't hurt you, but make sure it, and Michelle, make sure he has a couple. Well, that's when it just went. I had a drink, fine, nice time, but drank on a Saturday, couple of days off, drink on a Tuesday, and then it became a bit, regular to the point of, well, I blew to 23, 24 stone. I was drinking crates of that vile tenant super. I would go on holiday, but I couldn't function. I would be on a mobility scooter in Florida. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't want to stop. I didn't have any issues. My health was failing badly. I had a heart attack at 43. Still, I did not stop. I had surgery. My consultant, my cardiologist, championed me to have surgery to lose weight. I lost the weight, put it all back on again through drink. Two children, Charlotte, my daughter, Ben, my son. My daughter's 31, my son's 28. COVID, that's when it all went really, really wrong. My wife, my daughter has rented a lovely house in Sussex. And my wife is going up there every day during COVID to see my daughter and my oldest grandson. And something wasn't right. I didn't know what, but something didn't seem right anyway. She came home and said to my son, right, I'm going. I've had enough of your dad. I've got enough money. I'm going. He told me, I said, oh, don't be stupid. She's not going to go. Well, she did. She did. She moved in with my daughter. So I believe she's still living with my daughter now. My world fell apart. Absolutely crashed.
He ended up in hospital and then went to live at the Kenwood Trust Rehab Centre in Yalding. Trevor's now 4 years sober and has spoken out in a bid to help others. Kenwood Trust are urging people to reflect on the role alcohol plays in their lives and start honest conversations to reduce the stigma that can prevent people from seeking help. You can find information and support on their website. And we do thank Trevor ever so much for sharing his story.
Kent Online reports.
It's been revealed hundreds of corner shops and takeaways in Kent have government licences to recruit skilled workers from abroad. Home Office data shows 2,000 businesses and organisations in the county hold what's known as a visa sponsor licence. Well, I've been speaking to our local democracy reporter Dan Essen, who's been looking at the data.
So these are our workers' visas. The vast majority of these, more than 95%, are skilled worker visas. So what this means is a business has to go to the Home Office and say, we want to recruit people from abroad, and to justify that they have to say it's a skilled position which they couldn't otherwise fill in this country. So that ranges from professional and technical things, like for example lawyers or accountants or welders, something like that, also to things like managers, things in financial services. So but broadly these are essentially visas which allow people to be recruited from abroad to come and work in this country in various businesses.
So tell us a bit about the data you've been looking into then. What does it show?
So this data, it's from the Home Office. This is all open source. Anyone can go and access it. There's this big spreadsheet of every licensed visa sponsor in the entire country, which you can get from the Home Office. And I went through it and took out all the businesses in Kent in it, about 2,000 of them. And the short of it is that it shows lots of businesses that you might expect to have overseas recruitment visas, but also many, many that you wouldn't expect. And the, you know, the headline figure, so to speak, is that there are hundreds of restaurants, cafes, corn shops, takeaways, those kinds of things, which have skilled worker visa licenses, basically allowing them to recruit from overseas should they choose to.
So would the argument be that for a lot of these establishments, they don't need these skilled worker visas because presumably they could be employing people from the local town that they're based in?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of political discussion about unemployment among young people. And a big part of this is the fact that a lot of the basically low-wage, low-skilled entry-level jobs, which many young people would use as their first entry to the economy, for example, working as a waiter in a takeaway or behind the counter in a corn shop, many of these jobs are the kinds of jobs which owners of these businesses have, you know, they have licenses to recruit for. Now, technically, you have to, the job has to qualify as skilled for the Home Office to allow you to recruit from abroad. But an expert from the Oxford Migration Observatory that I spoke to for the story told me that, you know, the Home Office is only going to verify the exact nature of the job you're recruiting for if they already have a reason to be suspicious. And Katie Lamb, the MP for the Weald of Kent, she's also been, I spoke to her for this story, and she's also been very critical of this. And she said quite explicitly, the skilled worker route is, the public expect this to be used for doctors and scientists and engineers, not for people to work in takeaways, basically. That's the political argument around it.
I guess the question would be, what can be done? Is there anything that can be done about it? Are the government looking to crack down on this sort of thing?
Yeah, the Home Office were very keen to stress that they, in the past couple of years, in particular since the new government took over, they've really, really cracked down on visa licenses. They've had a huge increase in the amount of businesses who've had their licenses withdrawn from them. They've stepped up enforcement massively so that they're like actually checking on the businesses who have these kind of licenses. So the Home Office is attempting to crack down on it, but obviously they seem to have their work cut out for them because this system appears to have been going on for many years. And like I say, just in Kent alone, there were 2,000 businesses with these visa sponsors licenses. Imagine the amount of time and resource involved for the government in checking every single one of these businesses. Are they using it? Are they using the system as it's intended to? So the government is cracking down on it, but I imagine it will take them quite a lot of time and resources.
More than 2,000 people have signed a petition calling for bosses in Herne Bay to rethink a decision to evict a number of businesses to make way for new homes. Firms based at the Nursery Industrial Estate on C Street have been told they have to leave by March next year. The land and former ambulance station next door has been identified as a potential housing site in the council's draft local plan. Meantime, plans have been put in to build retirement homes on the site of a former Aldi store in Hythe. The shop's been empty since 2019, and the new development would also take up some of the Mount Road car park next door. The project includes 32 one- and two-bedroom apartments alongside two semi-detached cottages. Two theatres in Kent are still on an at-risk list. The Roundhouse in Dover and Theatre Royal in Margate feature among 39 buildings across the UK on a register released today by the Theatres Trust. The organisation has welcomed plans by the council to bring the Thanet venue back into use and say they'll continue to work with bosses in Dover on how to get cultural events taking place there.
Kent Online News.
Next on today's episode, and the parents of a Kent paramedic have said they want his legacy to be that of saving lives after they unveiled the first defibrillator funded in his memory. 28-year-old Ryan O'Bray, who worked at Sheppey Ambulance Station in Queenborough for 7 years, was fighting depression and anxiety when he died in July 2024. His parents have been fundraising ever since to buy 5 defibrillators for the island and pay for community first aid training to help save lives. Lisa is Ryan's mum.
We're also going to have a second one that's going to go up at the Harty Ferry. That's on the Isle of Sheppey as well. They're all on the Isle of Sheppey. The Ashcroft caravan site, also Seacliff Holiday Park as well, and also the ambulance service themselves. He was a really good paramedic, an absolutely fantastic paramedic. So it just symbolises everything about my son, who was a selfless person. All he wanted to do was save people's lives. So it's lovely to be able to put these defibrillators in so that we can gather the data off of them when they've been used, and Ryan still is saving people's lives in theory. I want people to remember Ryan for the person that he was, not for how he died. Because when Ryan was here, he did a lot of good. You know, he saved so many people's lives that are walking around the Swale area, around Sheppey, around Medway. He saved a lot of lives. He was a really, 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 really selfless lad. And I just want people to remember Ryan for the funny, kind person that he was, not for how he died, because he wouldn't want that.
A world record holder and former MP are going to be guests of honour at the opening of a new facility in Maidstone today for people who use prosthetics. Harry Budamagar lost his legs while serving in Afghanistan, while Craig McKinley also suffered limb loss after developing sepsis. The centre has been specially designed to support more than 1,000 patients across the county. £500,000 is set to be spent on a museum in Kent in a bid to get more of us visiting. Bosses in Dartford say the Grade 2 listed attraction and library will have a redesign so they're more engaging. It's all part of ongoing regeneration in the town centre, including at Lowfield Street and Market Street. And a Medway mum says she's hoping to make staying fit more affordable for busy parents who can bring their children with them. Jordan Williams from Stroud has quit a job in London to set up a fitness business in the town. The personal trainer hopes things like buggy boot camps will give mums and dads a chance to do classes that might not be available at traditional gyms.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth has been spotted at the World Cup. He was among fans at the Azteca Stadium for England's incredible 3-2 victory over Mexico. Gill's owner Brad Gallinson has also shared pictures of himself attending matches and cheering on the Three Lions in his home country, America. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.